Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Wednesday morning. We've got live baseball happening right now in Japan as the Major League Baseball's regular season is sort of kicking off in a weird way in another country, but it's still happening. Real baseball makes you think about real baseball happening with the Mets and Yankees. And more bad news for the Yankees when it comes to injuries, as we find out another guy will be starting on the injured list, this time Dellin Betances with a shoulder impingement, shoulder inflammation, whatever you want to call it. So another thing that the Yankees have to deal with. And speaking of baseball, another monster contract handed out yesterday right after we got off the air to Mike Trout, the richest in baseball history, and we know he's earned that. Boomer's back this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gio. And you got to wonder if Kyler Murray's thinking about going back to baseball as opposed to playing football after watching Mike Trout sign his big deal. But, you know, the thing about it is, my initial thought process through this whole thing was whether or not the Yankees are going to pay Aaron Judge that amount of money when it comes time to pay him. Now, unfortunately for Aaron Judge, he's like the far majority of baseball players. They get started late. They're not going to get their money until, you know, until around, you know, the age of 30, unless, of course, the Yankees do with him with what they did with Severino and with Hicks, right? Buy out some of their years and pay him. But this is you talk about hitting a mother load. Mike Trout hit the mother load. And I think there are some people out there that actually believe that he gave a discount to the Angels.
Yeah, I've heard that.
There was a whole analytics-driven discussion, I think it was either yesterday or the day before, with Tom Verducci, the guys at Fangraphs and also Sports Illustrated, about how really what Mike Trout was worth last year was about $79 million to the Angels, given what he did last year. So when you take into account that he essentially signs for $36 million per over the next 12 years, you could legitimately say that he was underpaid, believe it or not.
Right. That was one of the main things that I heard yesterday about this contract. It's going to be worth every penny, and actually you could make a case that he's underpaid. I mean, of course, I don't believe that a guy who's making $36 million and $430 million over the course of the deal can be dubbed as overpaid. I think that this is a really good thing for that organization, obviously a really good thing for him and his family, and we don't have to hear about Mike Trout being recruited by Bryce Harper to be a member of the Philadelphia Phillies any longer.
I think Bryce Harper helped him. He certainly helped him. He shined a light right on him, and Mike Trout basically was given an offer that I don't know how anybody could turn it down. I mean, at the end of the day, he's going to pocket somewhere around $205 to $215 million after taxes.
Yeah, that's the only thing that he has to worry about. But California income tax rate.
It's serious because it's 13.3%. You know, at his levels, and he'll get dock duty days. As opposed, I believe he's still a New Jersey resident. I think, I'm not sure, but at the end of the day, as you heard, I think it was the new wide receiver for the Giants, Golden Tate, say on Mike's show, it is about taxes, and you know how I can save some taxes is whether as opposed to whether or not I'm going to live in Jersey or I'm going to live in New York or what's going on here. So athletes nowadays, especially with the amount of money that they're making, all of a sudden those conversations become so much more relevant to the discussion, because of the amount of money that they stand to lose, depending on where they live or where they play, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a conversation all these guys have when they get into that upper echelon. But you know, I was thinking, does this end the discussion once and for all about the collusion aspect or how baseball players are never going to get paid again? We just saw. Now, it was only a month ago or so that we had nobody signed. Bryce Harper hadn't signed yet. Manny Machado hadn't signed yet. Of course, this Mike Trout deal hadn't happened. And we were still talking about, I can't believe that those guys are still out there. You added Kimbrel to that discussion and other free agents. And what is going on back-to-back off seasons? And now we've seen the three richest deals in baseball history.
If you think about Nolan Arenado.
Right, that as well. It's one I forgot about. So you think about those four contracts that have been handed out in that time span. Does the Players Association say, oh, yeah, sorry, we were just kidding about that collusion thing.
No, you know, it's hard to argue collusion. That's right. When you look at these four deals, the problem is the rank and file. That's where the problem lies. And a problem like, say, Jacob deGrom. So Jacob deGrom's going to be, what, 31 years old? He still doesn't have a contract. His former agent wanted him to have a huge contract last year. Now his former agent is the general manager, and they kind of stalled the whole thing. I do think that something's coming down the pipe, or Jacob deGrom wouldn't be talking about it the way he has.
Well, you've got 8 days now, right? You got 8 days.
I mean, but he's been kind of saying that he still thinks something's getting done, which leads me to believe that there is conversation going on between the two camps. And this only can help Jacob deGrom, these numbers that these players are signing. But again, I still think it goes back to the rank and file player. Obviously, these four players who signed their new contracts are not rank and file players. These are four of the best players in baseball, that they're getting compensated for it, and they found teams, or in the case of Mike Trout, in the case of Nolan Arenado, who wanted to keep their players, and they wanted to reward those players and make their fans happy, which I think they did.
Yeah, so it's another conversation, though, about what's good business from general managers and what's screwing the players and where do you have a common ground. It's the same stuff we talk about with a franchise tag in the NFL. Like, it's smart for teams to franchise tag players at some positions. Some other positions, the number is exorbitant, and then you're talking about a salary cap that is now ballooned to the point where you can't do other things. And the same thing in baseball. Like, why are you going to buy out these years? Why are you going to go and give this guy the money? Why, if you can go to arbitration and pay this guy for 1 year when you know injuries are so prevalent in professional sports, why would you do all that stuff? And how do you, if you're these players associations, get that stuff swung back in your favor when you still have guys that are making a ton of money in your camp? It's the bottom line is that you either have a work stoppage and you, this whole thing blows up and the whole system blows up, or you're kind of satisfied with what you got.
In regards to the NFL, I will tell you that the players are not going to go on strike. There is no way in the world that players are going on strike.
And look at the contracts that were handed out this offseason.
Let me just tell you, when we went on strike in 1987, I was, at that moment, the highest paid player in the NFL. I was making, I think, $1.2 million that year. That was my salary. I had signed the contract extension, or the new contract, in August of 1987. I believe that the Bengals partly gave it to me because they believe in me as their starter moving forward. But they also knew that I was the player rep of the team, so they wanted to put a little financial pressure on me not to go and be, you know, the leader of the team and sit in front of a bus and fight, you know, tooth and nail for the rank and file.
Yeah. Hey, good for you.
Hey, thank you, Al. I appreciate that. So that's what I did. I did that in 1987, and I have no regrets doing that for the players back then. Mm-hmm. Today's players, when you have guys making $30 million a year or guaranteed $90 million like Kirk Cousins, or Drew Brees just signed for another $25 million a year, there's no way those players are stopping the sport. There's just no way. That's just too much money. They can never recover it. They are not going on strike. Now, you may get a work stoppage by the owners because the owners want to get something else in return, and that's wherein lies the problem for the NFLPA. They have 1,600 members. They have 1,600 different points of view as opposed to the 32 NFL owners who are in lockstep with one another. And the owners know that about the players. And the players, instead of hiring a negotiator or somebody that, you know, maybe can get something done, they hire a litigator. You know, they hire a guy that likes to bark on the corner of the street and just complain about everything, as opposed to trying to figure out how to get out from underneath the franchise tag and how to get out from underneath the fifth-year rookie contract problem.
Yeah.
So those are the things that I would work on if I were an NFLPA rep. But I doubt that they will. But I do think that the owners could have a work stoppage to get even more back from the players, because there are owners, believe it or not, that believe that the players are making too much right now as we speak. I don't think those are the Jerry Joneses of the world or the Bob Crafts of the world, but I do believe that there are owners still out there that lament the fact that this salary cap has gone up to $190 million.
So right now in Japan, Ichiro has come to the plate. And this is something Jerry and I were talking about yesterday.
Ichi, gichi, ya, ya, da, da.
So he's playing in Japan as a member of the Mariners this last time, and then that's it. He's hitting ninth. He's out there in right field, and then that's the end of it. But this is a real game that counts, you know? It's very strange to me.
Well, hopefully he hits a home run.
Yeah, but I mean, that would be even cheesier for me. That would be like the Cal Ripken All-Star Game one, right? It was just grooved, you know? They get a groove one to him here?
No way. No way.
The A's are up 2-0. Top of the third. You got a runner in scoring position now. Ichiro's up. He's 45 years old. And he's going up to the plate. I guess because the game's in Japan and this is like a nice little...
Oh, you think? Like if they play the game in Pakistan, you think he'd be in the lineup? No, I don't think so.
No, probably not. That would maybe next year, the MLB in Pakistan. But no, you've got Ichiro with this final like goodbye cherry on top of the career.
Well, good for him. Great for him.
I don't know.
What are you worried about?
I mean, that's his career. I'm not worried
about it. Why you were... You know, I'd be like...
Hey, popped out. Great. Awesome. Hey, everybody, take a picture. Like, geez. You're trying to, you know, these games should be, you got to win these games. This is what this is all about. You got to put the best team out on the field. This is what we're talking about with Pete Alonso. He's one of the best players, and he's got to be out there. You can't tell me Ichiro at 45 is one of the best players.
Why do you worry about that? You know, you shouldn't be worrying about that. You should be worrying about Dave Gettleman's plan. That's what you should be worrying about. Not about Ichiro and whether or not he should be playing in a game in Japan.
Oh, it's just, well, it's on right now in my face.
That's fine. It doesn't matter.
It's happening live right now.
I mean, I heard this whole thing. I wish I was with you guys yesterday because of this whole thing with the Dave Gettleman plan and how he came out and just jammed it down everybody's throat. We got a plan. It takes time.
Sure.
We're better last year than we were the year before.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting rid of all these players and I'm keeping our quarterback and we're not paying them, but we're paying him. I mean, you know.
Right.
It's crazy. It's crazy what's going on over there. We still have what? I'm trying to think. How much time we have until the draft now? It's got to be, what, 36 days? So we have 36 days to the NFL draft to see what Dave Gettleman's plan is.
Yeah, and at this point, it's fair to ask the question.
Sounds like he's going to draft a quarterback in the first round to me. Now, whether he does it with the number 6 pick or not, that I don't know. And by the way, Kyler Murray did meet with the Arizona Cardinals yesterday. So if that meeting took place, I have got to believe that there's going to be a trade of Josh Rosen either to the Miami Dolphins or to the Washington Redskins.
Well, I don't think that the Miami Dolphins want a young quarterback on the roster this year. I think that they are planning to be horrible, and they're planning on being at the top of the draft next year, and that's exactly how it's going to play out. And this was the point yesterday that I had about Gettleman saying that I don't need to explain my plan to you guys. Well, you do when it's really confusing, all of the moves that you've made so far. Like the Miami Dolphins, do you think that anybody down in the Miami beat writer community is screaming and yelling at the Dolphins, going, what's your plan? What are you trying to do? Everybody knows. It's obvious.
It's obvious, but they're not telling you what their plan is.
But it's obvious by the actions is my point. And the reason why there's so many people asking Dave Gettleman what the plan is, because it's not obvious.
Yeah, but if I am Dave Gettleman, I don't have to tell you my plan. It's just that I don't need to go into it as fiery as he went into it. You know, like the way you deliver it is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he goes in there and he's basically lecturing everybody.
Yep.
And quite frankly, you and I were on board with the trade of Odell Beckham Jr.
Absolutely.
So we're good with that. So he should be happy with us. Did you get a thank you for that? No, I didn't get a thank you for that.
No,
of course not.
Right.
But I still say, and I think you right along with me, because we've been doing this now for 2.5 years talking about this, that the Giants, and he even said it, he's got to be an idiot to think, or we would think he was an idiot if he didn't go after a young quarterback. Well, we thought he was an idiot last year for that.
Right, yes.
So now we're going to think a double idiot this year if he doesn't do it this year. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
So you got to take the good with the bad. We're all good with the OBJ trade. We get it. You know, OBJ went dark. Now he's going to have to find himself somewhere. This is like...
Oh, see, my goodness. You saw that yesterday, obviously.
Of course I did, because I texted it to you while you were on the air.
That's right. You did do that.
The hotel I was staying in Chicago did not have CBS Sports Network on its... I don't know why.
Did they have bed bugs, though?
No, not this place. This place. Oh, man, I stayed at a beautiful place. But anyway, But I was listening to you guys on radio.com, and I heard the whole discussion about the ESPN and how Al doesn't like the zone because it's Fugazi or whatever. I don't know what the hell you guys yapping about. But at the end of the day, Dave Gettleman, right, is a guy that is lecturing everybody.
Yeah.
And he's telling everybody, you know, this is the way I'm going to do it. It's more the delivery about how he does it.
No, I mean, it's condescending in the sense that, like, well, you guys stop. I know what I'm doing. I've been around for a while. I don't need to tell you what I'm doing because I'm the man and you're a bunch of peons. And that's the way it is. Like, that's the way it came across.
Right, exactly. So, and that's the thing that I think unnerves, you know, people around here. You know, you're asking a fan base that has really not had a lot of success over the last 6 years, except for one playoff game where your best player dropped its initial pass after coming off of a boat trip.
Yep.
Right? So that's where your franchise has been for the last 6 years, and you want your season ticket holders to buy tickets to your product.
Well, we had a caller yesterday said exactly that. He goes, I've invested a lot of money into this organization. I'd like to have an idea what the hell you're doing with
it. That's how I feel about the Rangers. I, you're going to tell me you're going to rebuild. Then lessen my ticket cost. Make it, you know, do something that, you know, lessens the blow of me knowing that my team is not going to be very good. And they lost again last night.
Yep.
You know, and it's frustrating. You're watching the young kids, but this is the process you go through. But I'm not paying for that. I'm not paying, you know, championship prices to watch a last place team. Yeah, that's like the thing with the Knicks.
A lot of that going on in New York right now. Too
and
much.
That's the thing with the Knicks that just drives you crazy.
Yep.
Like they're.
But they're still selling out every game.
For whatever, I don't know if they're selling out at full price. I'm not sure if all the people there are people who have bought their tickets at full-on price. You know, it could be the secondary market. I'm sure numbers are down. It's probably a lot cheaper to go to a lot of games now because of the losing and all that other stuff, depending on who the Knicks are playing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.